إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This morning, bi-idhn Allah ta'ala, we like to continue with the review of this very important topic, yani the methodology or the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah in uniting the Ummah, by Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Yani from what we read yesterday, the Shaykh introduced the topic, yani emphasizing the importance that this matter should have in the heart of every Muslim, yani uniting the Muslims, bringing the Muslims together. And that whoever from amongst the Muslims knows the importance of this and is seeking a solution will find that there are many people out there who are offering solutions. There are many people who have different views or opinions or methodologies of how this problem of the disunity of the Muslims can be solved. However, the Muslim that is intelligent and wise will not look for the solution in any place other than in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, the solution to this problem is found for the one who searched for it definitely in the Book of Allah and in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh went on to say that even though the splitting and dividing and differing amongst the Muslims is something that definitely has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His universal will, in His irada al-qawniyya, this is something that He decreed to occur, and it must occur. However, at the same time, we should be clear on the fact that this is not something that Allah loves or something that Allah is pleased with in His irada shara'iyya. Indeed, He has legislated that the Muslims unite and that they agree upon the truth that is found in the Quran and Sunnah, and that they be together and that they come together and that they work together and they cooperate with one another. This is what Allah is pleased with and this is what Allah loves, and therefore the disunity and separation and splitting and differing amongst the Muslims is something that a Muslim should not be pleased with and should be looking for the solution for it. The Shaykh went on to say, and we're summarizing, that there's no doubt there has been a stern warning and a great threat against this matter of splitting amongst the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in many places in the Quran the warning against splitting of the Muslims. And He has said clearly that those who divide up their religion, He said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lasta minhum min shay, that you don't have anything to do with those people who farraka deenahum wa kanu shi'an, and the people who separate their deen and they divide up into sects and parties and different groups, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has nothing to do with them. And the Shaykh went on to say that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has even addressed this issue to the prophets and messengers, and specifically the ulul azm min them, from amongst them. And He said that he legislated for us is that which He has advised or commanded with yani Nuh alayhi salam, and likewise what He has revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and what He has commanded or instructed or advised Ibrahim and Musa and Isa alayhi salam, and that is the establishment of the deen. The establishment of the deen, and that we do not be divided in this deen or separated. So this is what the summary of what the Shaykh said, or what we read from what he said yesterday. And he ended with the ayah from the Quran, from Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ودخلوا في السلم كافة, يعني enter into Islam totally, completely. And this يعني is a simple يعني instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that clarifies the whole issue, that the solution to the problem starts with entering into Islam, surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, complying with His instructions completely, totally, all the way, without reservation or hesitation. So, and what we want to read today is the beginning of the solutions to this problem, where the Shaykh mentions from Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th Surah, the 30th Ayat, and 31st and 32nd Ayat, which contain six clear, decisive matters that are the most important of the matters which can be utilized, the elements for establishing the unity amongst the Muslims and eliminating the differing and bickering and splitting. Yarhamukallah. So the Shaykh, he says, the beneficial solutions for the issue of the splitting of the Ummah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, فَأَقِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. And يعني, set your face upright, direct your face towards the deen, Hanifa, in a state of يعني, being inclined to Allah alone and turning away from everything and everyone besides Him. فِطْرَةُ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهَا. يعني this, turning your face towards the deen completely as a hanif, yani one who is inclined towards the tawheed of Allah alone and turning away from everything besides Him, this is the fitra, the nature, the natural disposition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being upon. Yani establish, turning your face towards Allah, yani surrendering completely and totally to Allah, this is the fitra, the natural disposition upon which Allah created the human being. لا تبديل لخلق الله. And there should be no يعني, changing or altering of the creation of Allah, that which Allah created the human beings upon. ذلك الدين القيم. And that is the upright deen, يعني, that which is correct and pure. ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. However, most of the people do not know this, do not know this correct deen. And even if they know it, they don't comply with it. In the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, munibina ilayhi, yani turning to Him, yani set your face, direct your face towards the deen as a hanif, while being in a condition of yani turning to Allah constantly, consistently turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Munibina ilayhi, wattaquhu, and observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And establish the salah, and do not be of the يعني, mushriks, those who associate something or share the exclusive rights of Allah with other than Him. مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِ فَرِحُونَ. And do not be of the mushrikeen, those who separate their religion or separate from their religion. As the Shaykh mentioned yesterday, the farraku dinam, in some of the readings, the qira'at of this ayat, it is mentioned faruku din, faruku, yani those who separate from their deen, who split up their deen, or who separate from their deen, abandon it for some other deen, that is the worship of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yani those who separated their deen, and those who were sects, who were divided up into sects and parties, yani based upon what? Based upon following their own desires, and based upon the innovations and deviations that they corrupted their deen with. Do not be like these people. Every group of them is happy and pleased with that which he has with him, yani with his idea, his philosophy, his view, his yani deviation or corruption. So these three ayats, especially the first two, the 30th ayat and 31st ayat, contain the solutions that the Shaykh is going to elaborate upon in this, yani the main core of the topic. The Shaykh says, just as these verses contain a severe warning against splitting, which is the path of the mushriks, splitting up their deen. This is the way of the mushriks. Those who have separated their religion or separated from their religion, and they have taken idols as objects of worship besides Allah, worshipping others besides Allah along with Him. And they took their desires as lords besides Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yani, this splitting up is the path of the pagan disbelievers who divided up their religion and have taken other things as gods besides Allah, and they have taken their desires even as lords besides Allah. These ayats contain a severe warning against this splitting, and they also contain a very beneficial and useful, contain very beneficial and useful solutions for the problem of splitting. Rather, it contains the greatest and strongest solutions for this problem. And the Shaykh is saying here that just as these verses contain a severe warning against splitting, the very same verses also contain the solution for this problem. The very same verses contain the warning against it and the solution for it. The first solution, al-hal al-awwal, the first solution. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. So set you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your face towards the religion of pure Islamic monotheism. Yani, this is the beginning of the ayah, and this is the first solution. Yani, direct your face towards the deen as a hanif. The meaning of setting one's face or directing one's face towards the religion is that the servant, the abd, the worshipper of Allah, submits totally and complies completely with the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As Allah the Blessed and Most High has said, yani, the same meaning is contained in another ayah in the Quran, in Surah Al-Luqman, 31st Surah, 22nd ayah, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجَهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. That whoever submits his face, yani surrenders his face, his whole being to Allah, while he is a muhsin, yani a person of ihsan, who worships Allah the way he deserves to be worshipped, and is good to the people in the way that's pleasing to Allah. This person who submits his face to Allah while he is a muhsin, then he has indeed grasped or taken hold of the most trustworthy handhold. And this is also, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place in the Quran, in Surah Az-Zumr, 39th Surah, 54th ayat, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. Yani, and turn in repentance. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Turn in repentance to your Rabb. Yani, with obedience, with yani true faith. Turn to Him, yani believing in Him and obeying Him. And submit to Him in Islam. Yani, total submission, surrender, compliance. The Shaykh says, if the people adhere to the religion of Allah in a complete and holistic manner, yani with complete and perfect surrender and submission to Allah, without any lapse, yani without any shortcoming or transgression or violation of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set as our way of life. If the people turn to Allah in this way, and without giving precedence to desires and lust, yani to following their own inclinations or their own opinions and views and lust and intellects or other than that, without this, then they will have brought forth a means from the greatest means that bring about unity of the Muslims and unification of their world. Yani, if the people surrender to Allah with complete and perfect surrender, without any violation or transgression of that which Allah has commanded us with, and without following desires, and without following their shahwat, their lust, or lower desires for filth and corruption, and without following their opinions, and without following their intellect, but rather following the Quran and Sunnah. If the people do this, then they will have brought forth a means from the greatest means of that which brings about unity to Muslims and unification of their word. I'd like to take a minute here and read what Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di says concerning the beginning of these ayats that the Shaykh has mentioned, yani the first of these ayats. Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di rahimahullah, he says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. So, yani, set up your face or direct your face towards the deen as a hanif. He said that in here, in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with ikhlas, yani, to worship Him with sincerity. في جميع الأحوال وإقامة دينه. Yani, to be consistent, to have ikhlas in all of our conditions and situations, and to establish His deen fully. So He said, فَعَقِمْ وَجَهَكَ. That is, set up, prop up, direct your face towards the deen, which is al-Islam, wal-Iman, wal-Ihsan. This is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is al-Islam, and above that there is Iman, and above that is al-Ihsan. As came in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, that set up your face or direct your face towards the deen, it means the whole of the deen, al-Islam, wal-Iman, wal-Ihsan. And this is done by directing your heart and your intention and your body towards the establishment of the shara'i of the deen, al-zahira wal-batina. Yani, establishment of all that Allah has legislated in this deen, from the outward matters as well as the inner matters. And the Shaykh says, yani, the outward matters of the deen are like, for example, the salah, and the zakah, and the saum, and hajj, and that which is similar to them. And as far as the inward matters, the shara'i al-batina, yani within ourselves, is like al-mahabba, love, and al-khawf, fear, and al-raja, hope, and al-inaba, turning to Allah. Yani that these things also have to be established, not just the performance of salat and fasting, but rather one must have within yourself, in your heart, love and hope and fear and dependence and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And the establishment of, yani, setting up your face for the deen includes this, yani, the establishment of the outward legislations as well as that which Allah has legislated in inwardly, yani, the inner things that have been legislated, the matters of the heart, like love and hope and fear, and as well, al-ihsan. Al-ihsan, yani excellence and perfection in the fulfillment of the outward as well as the inner things that Allah has legislated. And this is by worshipping Allah as though you see Him. And if you do not see Him, then indeed He sees you. Yani, the person who can worship Allah as though you are seeing Allah, as though you are seeing Allah, meaning the heart is so focused, it is as though you actually see Allah. This is the highest level. But if a person is not able to reach that level, then there's also excellence in a lower level, and that is to worship Allah knowing that Allah is seeing you, that Allah is watching you, that Allah hears everything that you say. And He knows even that which is in your heart. Here the Shaykh says that Allah has singled out and specifically focused on, in this ayat, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ, yani the mention of the face, establishment, setting up, directing your face towards the deen. And this is because the turning of the face is subject to and follows the turning of the heart. Yani that turning the face happens when the heart is turned towards Allah. If a person's heart is directed towards Allah, then their face would be directed towards Allah. And the efforts and the striving of the body are based upon these two matters. Yani, the setting up or directing of the face, and before that, the directing of the heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَقِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. Yani, as hanif, meaning مُقْبِلًا عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي ذَلِكَ مُعْرِضًا عَمَّا سِوَاهِ. Yani that a person is turning this, directing themselves totally towards Allah in this matter of the establishment of the deen, and they are turning away from everything besides him. This is the meaning of hanif. That a person is inclined towards the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life, and he is disinclined or turned away from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shaykh says here, yani this matter which we have been commanded with, turning the face towards the deen as hanif, that this matter we have been commanded with, this is the fitrah of Allah. The natural position, natural disposition, the nature which Allah has created the human beings upon. Turning your face towards Allah as hanif, this is the natural disposition that Allah has created the human beings upon. And He has put it in their minds. He has placed in their minds, in their intellect, in their aql, to see the beauty of this matter, of turning one's face towards Allah, and the ugliness of everything besides it. For indeed, all of the ahkam, al-shar', al-zahira wal-batina, all of the legal matters that Allah has legislated, the outward matters and the inner matters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the hearts of His creatures, all of them, an inclination towards this. Yani towards that which He has legislated, outwardly and inwardly. And He has placed in their hearts love for the haqq and preference for the haqq. And this is the reality of al-fitrah. This is the reality of al-fitrah. That the human being has a love for the truth. And they have preference. They are inclined to prefer the truth over everything else. And they see and understand the beauty of that which Allah has legislated and the ugliness of everything else. So whoever has gone outside of this fitrah that Allah has created the human beings upon, the fitrah of inclination towards Allah and tawheed and the haqq and the love for it, whoever has gone out of this fitrah, it is due to some matter that came from outside. Yani, that came upon the fitrah and corrupted it. And this is as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith which is sahih, kullu mawlud yulad ala al-fitrah fa abawahu yuhawwidanahu wa yunas aw yunasiranahu aw yumajjisanahu. Yani that every human being is born upon the fitrah that Allah created the human being upon of tawheed. Every human being is born upon this, but some outside influence may have affected him and corrupted him. And that is, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that it is his parents. It is his parents that make him into a Jew or a Christian or a Magian. And finally, the Shaykh says, ذَلِكَ الدِّينَ الْقَيِّمُ. That is the upright religion. That which Allah has commanded us with, that is the upright religion. يعني الطريق المستقيم الموصل إلى الله وإلى كرامته. يعني that this upright deen, this is the straight way that leads to Allah and to the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for those who believe in Him and who worship Him, that is Al-Jannah. For indeed, whoever establishes his face and directs his face towards the deen as a hanif, being inclined toward tawheed and away from other than that, indeed this person has traveled upon the straight path in all of what Allah has legislated, in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. And this is the end of the first ayah 30 of Surah 30. ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. But most of the people don't know this. That is, most of the people don't know the upright deen. And if they know it, they don't travel its path. And even if they know it, they are not traveling. They have not complied. They have not accepted to travel this path. The Shaykh, after this, yani after the mention of the first matter, that is setting one's face, directing one's face towards the deen, yani with total and complete submission, and not giving preference to one's desires or lusts or opinions or intellect, he says the second solution, the other remedy within this noble verse is his statement, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Yani the second matter that's mentioned in the first ayat of this group is that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the people to set their face and direct their face towards the deen as a hanif, then, and explaining what this means, the fitrah, the natural disposition that Allah has created a human being upon, after mentioning this, he says, however, most of the people do not know, yani, this upright deen. Most of the people don't know it. Within this statement, in the end of this ayat, is an indication or pointing to the importance of knowledge and insight into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessed and most high. For indeed, knowledge of the book and the sunnah and insight into them, as well as dependence upon them, is from the most important affairs, which contain a solution for the problem of the splitting which occurs between the Muslims, or between those who ascribe to Islam and who claim to be Muslims. So returning to the book and the sunnah, as well as referring matters of contention and differing, referring them back to the book and the sunnah, is the safest solution and the best remedy or cure for this problem. And this is because it is, as Ibn Abil Izz, may Allah have mercy upon him, has stated, if the people do not refer the matters of contention and issues of their differences to the book of Allah and the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the truth will not become manifest to them. And they will not be upon clear insight in their affair. That is, if they refer to other than the book of Allah and other than the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Issues of contention in which the ummah contended in the usul, yani in the fundamental matters, that is in the aqidah, and in the subsidiary matters, the branches, yani the furu', yani whatever matters of contention, issues of difference of opinion, whether it's in the usul or in the furu', whether it's in the fundamentals of deen, that is the aqidah, which is the foundation, or whether it's in the secondary matters, the legislative matters, yani the laws, legal rulings and things like this, whether it is in either of them, if the people do not refer them back to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the truth will not become manifest to them. And it will not be clear. The people will be confused if they refer their differences back to any other source other than the book and the sunnah. Rather, the contending parties will traverse without clear evidence in their affair. People will travel, they will continue to go along a road throughout their life, and they will not be clear. They will not have clear evidence in their matter. So what is intended by knowledge? Yani that is a solution for the differing and a solution for the dividing and the splitting of the ummah. What is intended by knowledge is knowledge of the book and the sunnah and nothing else. Yani what is knowledge? It is that which is in the book and the sunnah and nothing else. As many of the scholars said, it is qala Allah wa qala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani what Allah has said and what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said. Knowledge of the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as understanding them with a correct and firm understanding based upon the guidance and the example of the pious predecessors, may Allah have mercy upon them. This is where the remedy is found. Yani knowledge that is from the Quran and Sunnah, based upon the understanding of a Salaf al-Salih, this is what contains the remedy or the cure for this problem. Rather, it contains the greatest remedy for the issue of differing and separation which occurs between the Muslims. Yani the Quran and Sunnah, as it was understood by the righteous predecessors, that is the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, and those who came after them from the Tabi'un, and those who came after them from the first generations of the Muslims. And then the Shaykh, he says, Allah the Exalted has said, and this is from Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, 59th ayat. Allah the Exalted has said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those who have authority from amongst you. Minkum. and those who have authority from amongst you, from amongst the Muslims. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. Obey Allah with absolute obedience, and obey the Messenger with absolute obedience, and those in authority from amongst you. And also obey those in authority from amongst you, but not with absolute obedience. Yani, as long as what they have commanded you is in accordance with what Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have commanded you, and not in disobedience or indifference or in contradiction to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger have commanded with. So obey Allah and obey the Messenger and obey those who have authority from amongst you. And if you differ in any matter, what is the solution? فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُ. Then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. Yani, refer it back to the Book of Allah and to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If indeed, yani, this is what you would do if indeed you are those who believe in Allah and in the last day. And that is best, and it is most suitable for final determination. Hence, it is a must that one has knowledge of the Book and the Sunnah to solve this dilemma. It is a must that one has knowledge of the Book and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf al-Salih in order to solve this problem. However, when they are present amongst the Muslims and within their ranks and within those who ascribe to their Jama'ah, who claim to be with them in their group, when they are amongst them those who do not give any weight to the knowledge of the Book and the Sunnah. And here, yani, I'm just translating a little different than what is found in the Book, because there's a strange expression here, Allahu A'lam, what is meant by this. But in any case, the meaning of what the Shaykh says, if they are amongst us, those who do not give any weight to the knowledge of the Book and the Sunnah, and they negate or nullify the Book of Allah and the Sunnah, naam, and they contradict, yani oppose, the explicit, clear, evident, and decisive text. They contradict that which is explicit and that which is clear, that which is evident and that which is decisive in the text of Quran and Sunnah. They contradict it by way of their intellects and their own opinions. And they give preference to many opinions that are from their own selves. They give their own opinions preference over the Quran and Sunnah, over the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. With the presence of such people, then how can the disarray be set aright? How can the word of the Muslims be united, unified? How can the ranks be united if they are those who make light of the Sunnah, and they belittle the Sunnah, and they revile the Sunnah, and they warn against it, and criticize the many authentic hadith which have come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they give their own opinions and their intellects precedence over what came in the Quran and the Sunnah? With the presence of these people, how can we be united? How can the disarray be set aright if there are those who give precedence to dreams and visions? And he's referring here to the Sufis, those who give precedence to dreams and visions over the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as some of them, that is the Sufis or the extremists from amongst them, who find fault with Ahlul Sunnah, with the people of hadith, and they say to the people of Sunnah, to the people of hadith, you people say so and so narrated to me from such and such. Yani, meaning the isnad of the hadith. But where is so and so? He has died. And where is such and such? He has died. As for us, the Sufis, these extremists, deviants, As for us, they say, we take our religion directly from the ever-living who does not die. So we say, my heart has narrated to me from my Rabb. Pure nonsense, no doubt. How can the word be united, unified, if there are amongst them he who gives his intellect precedence over the book and the sunnah? And he says, as an argument for that, we only know the book and the sunnah by way of our intellect. Yani, we didn't even come to know the book and the sunnah except because of our intellect. So our intellect is more important than the book and sunnah. Therefore, if we give precedence to the text, yani the Quran and sunnah, over the intellect, then we have given preference or precedence to the evidence over that which it proves. Yani, they are saying that how can we give preference to the book and the sunnah when we didn't even know the book and the sunnah except due to our intellect? Therefore, we cannot give preference to anything over our intellect. Rather, the intellect, yani, has first place and is the great proof, and the book and the sunnah take second place. So how can we give preference or precedence to the text, yani the Quran and sunnah, over the intellect? This is another group of deviant people, yani those who believe that their intellect is greater than what is found in the Quran and sunnah. Thus say those people, in spite of the fact that the authentic texts and the sound intellect are not contradictory. There is no contradictory between the authentic texts, yani what is narrated authentically in the textual proofs and of the Sharia. There is no contradiction between the texts and sound intellect. As Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy upon him, clarified within his great work, debunking the contradiction between the intellect and the text, meaning rejecting or refuting the claim that there is a contradiction between the intellect and what Allah has revealed in the Quran and Sunnah. Rejecting, refuting this claimed contradiction. The sound intellect does not contradict the authentic texts. And if there did occur a contradiction between the intellect and the texts, then it is either the case that the intellect is not sound, yani it's corrupted, or the text is not authentic, it's not sahih. For if the intellect is sound, has not been corrupted and polluted, and the text is authentic, then the two of them would never contradict one another. Some of the people of knowledge say, in clarification of the despicable nature of the action of these people, some of the people of Sunnah, some of the people, the scholars, they have said, the statement of these people necessitates, yani requires of them, that instead of saying, I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, it requires that they should say, they should be saying, based on their claim that the intellect has preference and precedence over the text, over that which came through the Prophet ﷺ, then their argument or their position necessitates that instead of saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, that they should be saying, Ashhadu anna Aqli Rasulullah. Yani they should be saying instead that I bear witness that my intellect is the Messenger of Allah, that my intellect is what guide, that what Allah has given to me to be a guide for me, instead of the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is where we want to yani stop here, but just a moment, yani just for yani some benefit from yani the last ayah that the Shaykh mentioned, that is يعني the important ayat in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 59th ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. يعني, O you believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority from amongst you. And if you differ in any matter, refer back to Allah and His Messenger, if indeed you believe in Allah in the last day. And that is best and most suitable for final determination. Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di rahimahullah says that in this ayat, Allah has commanded us to be obedient to Him and to be obedient to His Messenger. And that is by complying with the command of Allah and His Messenger. Whether it is that which comes from the things which are obligatory or the things which are mustahab, that are commendable but not obligatory. And likewise, yani it requires of us to avoid that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited. And here also in this ayat, there is the command to be obedient to those who are in authority from amongst us. And they are those who are the rulers over the people. Or those who, yani, have been appointed by the rulers. And those who are the people who make legal rulings. Yani, the judges amongst the people. Their judgments. For indeed, the people will not be upright in their deen or in their dunya, except by obedience. Yani first to Allah and His Messenger, and then obedience to those who are in authority from amongst us. Complying, yani, with the laws and the rules and the judgments of those in authority. And this, being obedient to those in authority from amongst us, is obedience to Allah and seeking that reward that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, this is with the condition that we do not obey them in disobedience to Allah. So if they command with that which is in disobedience to Allah, then there is no obedience to created beings in disobedience to the Creator. And perhaps this is the secret in this ayat why Allah said, "Atiyu Allah." And he obey Allah, wa ati'ur Rasul, and obey the Messenger, but he did not say, and obey those in authority from amongst you. Rather, the obedience to those in authority from amongst you is just coupled to obedience to Allah and His Messenger. Yani subject to obedience to Allah and His Messenger. And this is because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never command us with anything except obedience to Allah. So whoever obeys him indeed has obeyed Allah. As far as those who have authority from amongst us, then the condition for obedience to them, and the conditions for the command of obedience to them, is that they do not command us with any act of disobedience to Allah. Then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to refer every dispute amongst the people, whether in the fundamentals of the deen, and in the matters of aqidah, or in the branches of the deen, to refer all disputes back to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For indeed, in these two sources, there is the decisive, yani, clarification in all issues of difference, either by that which came clearly mentioned in the Quran or Sunnah, or the general meanings of the Quran and the Sunnah, or that which is hinted at, or that which is, yani, which is brought out clearly, or that which is understood, or the general meanings that came in the Quran and the Sunnah that a person can use for qiyas upon whatever is similar to it. And this is because the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the foundation of the deen. And a person's iman will not be upright, straight and correct except, yani, that it is based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. So referring back to these sources is the condition for a person being considered to have iman. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, refer back to Allah and His Messenger, if indeed you are believers in Allah and the last day. And this is because this meaning here, yani, refer back to Allah and the Messenger, if you are believing in Allah and the last day, this indicates, these words indicate that whoever does not refer the matters of dispute back to these two sources, the Quran and Sunnah, then this person is not a believer in reality. Rather, this person is a believer in the taghut, yani, those who make decisions and rulings outside of the Quran and Sunnah, as has been mentioned in the ayat that follows, and the Shaykh closes by saying, يعني ذلك, يعني referring it back to Allah and His Messenger, disputes, and if you believe in Allah on the last day, ذلك خير وأحسن تعويلا, and this is best, يعني referring it back to Allah and His Messenger, and this is يعني the thing that is most suitable for final determination, for indeed the wisdom or the ruling of Allah and His Messenger is the best of rulings and the most just of ruling and the most pure and upright of rulings for the people in the affairs of their deen and in the affairs of their dunya and in the end of the matter. And this is where we will stop. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or any comment or any correction, what has been said, we still have a few minutes. Before the salah, naam. A few minutes, a couple of minutes, naam. Those who? Naam. Naam. It depends on the matter. It certainly could be an indication that a person has left Islam, but it depends on in what matter it is. And if it's something, you know, that they have deviated on, or they have strayed from Islam in matters that don't amount to kufr, then we wouldn't say they have left Islam. But if it's a matter that amounts to kufr, if it's from the things that that judge a person as being a kafir from the matters of takfir, yani that a person whoever says this or whoever does that is a kafir, then yeah, we will say they have gone out of Islam. But if it's not in those matters that amount to kufr, then we don't say that they have gone out of Islam, but we say that the person has yani committed an act of disobedience. That means that they are a sinner, that they are fasiq, that they are fajr, but we don't say that. Which, make what their belief? No, the issue is serious. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this is the condition of you know, a large group of Muslims today, the intellectuals who give preference to, this is what the Shaykh is referring to. Those who give preference to their intellect over the revealed text in the Quran and Sunnah, or those who give preference to their own opinions, or their mazahib, or their methodologies, their ways of doing things that they have invented over the Quran and Sunnah. This is the majority of the Muslims in the world today. This is the condition of the majority of the people, except the people who are really the people of Sunnah, who are actually living by the Quran and Sunnah as it was understood. Who what they believe and what they rule with, and the way they worship and the way they act is based upon the Quran and Sunnah as it was understood by the righteous predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih, and what we understand from the scholars of the people of Sunnah. The majority of the people, the Muslims in the world today, are not upon this. They are not upon the Quran and Sunnah as it was understood by the Salaf al-Salih. But we don't say that the majority of the Muslims in the world are kuffar. We don't say that they are kafirs. But we say that they have deviated, a serious deviation. A serious deviation. But if that deviation of following their opinion or their intellect or whatever they have come up with, if that deviation leads them to believe or to act upon or to commit some act that has been clearly identified as kufr, then we say that person has committed an act of kufr. However, declaring that person to be a kafir is a different matter altogether. And not every person who says something that is a statement of kufr, or who does something that is an action of kufr, do we declare them to be a kafir? But rather, declaring a person to be a kafir, the ruling that a person is a kafir, has to be done by the people of knowledge, the scholars. That is the responsibility of the scholars, not the common people. Because the scholars understand the shurut, the conditions that are necessary to be fulfilled before you can declare a person who is a Muslim to be a kafir. There are conditions that have to be fulfilled. And there are mawaniya, prohibitive factors, that have to be absent. So if those conditions are not fulfilled, or those prohibitive factors are present, that prohibits you from making takfir on that person. And the people who know these conditions, these shurut, and who knows these prohibitive factors, these mawani, are the scholars. Are the scholars, not the ordinary people. Otherwise, the ordinary people, they will say, I saw so-and-so doing this. I heard so-and-so saying this. He's a kafir. Without really understanding the issues that have to be examined first. No. Yeah, a person who used to be a Muslim and then they go back to church and worship Jesus or worship something other than Allah, then there's no doubt that's kufr. This is from the nawaqid of Islam. The things that clearly have been identified in the Quran and Sunnah as nullifying a person's Islam. We don't need to declare them to be a kafir. This is kufr, there's no doubt about it. But it's not our responsibility to declare them to be a kafir. I mean, that's not our job, yani, that we have to declare people to be kafirs. Yani, the affair is clear, but it's not our responsibility, nor is it our right, to declare this person or that person as a kafir. I mean, their affair is clear. Persons worshipping idols is a mushrik, there's no doubt about it. Person who abandons salat intentionally, knowingly, willingly, consciously, that person is a kafir. They have gone out of Islam. There's no doubt about it. But we don't make takfir on specific people who have abandoned salat or who have committed some type of active shirk. We don't say that person, so-and-so, he's a kafir, he's a mushrik. We don't do that because this is making takfir on a specific person, and we, the people of Sunnah, we don't do this. Rather, if that takfir of a specific person is necessary, then that is the responsibility of the scholars. That's their responsibility. That's their job. They would do that. But as takfir al-mu'ayyin, yani declaring a specific person to be a kafir, that's not our job. That's not our role. Yani we have some other responsibilities. Our responsibility is to worship Allah alone, to make our prayers and to fast in Ramadan and to learn our deen and to be sincere in it. That's our responsibility, and that is enough to keep us busy. As far as those matters of declaring people to be kafirs, this is a very tremendous yani responsibility that has been given to the people on that level. So it's better for us to leave that person. Why occupy ourselves with that when we might be in error? Maybe we don't know that the person who went back to the church, maybe they're in church because somebody came to them and threatened to kill their whole family if you don't come back to the church. We don't know what's going on in their life. Maybe we think on the surface that we do, but maybe we don't. We don't know, maybe something, you know, maybe that person lost their mind, maybe they went crazy or something, and they're not mentally stable. We don't know what is the condition. Maybe we don't know, we think we know, but maybe we don't know. But in any case, on the surface, it's clear that the person who commits this act has committed an act of kufr. Anyway, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.